Chuck for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is God's Word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. If we have not met, my name is Sean. I serve as the lead pastor here at the church, and I am glad you decided to be here today. It is Easter Sunday. It is the day where we get dressed up. My wife picked out my outfit. I'm not ashamed of that. Where we come to church, we worship, we go eat maybe afterwards, enjoy a good meal. But this day, Easter, is all about Jesus. He came back to life on Easter, and so we are going to worship him in our time together. A boy and a girl were madly in love. Like, they were the type of love that it's just obnoxious to the rest of us. You know what I mean? Like, always giggling, always posting the hashtag soulmate selfie, you know, just making the rest of us uncomfortable and annoyed. You know, I know you're thinking, Sean, you sound like such a romantic the way you talk about this. Okay, well, it was one night they were texting, and they were doing the typical lovebird stuff, saying it to each other, and then the boy really wanted to sweep the girl off of her feet. And so he types out, "You are my princess. I love you. I want to buy you a castle." I mean, that's a pretty good line, right? It's like, oh, that's sweet. That's the kind of line that would make Disney jealous. Well, it would if autocorrect didn't enter the chat. So Romeo over there, he typed out, "I want to buy you a castle," and he didn't recognize that his phone automatically changed it to, "I want to buy you a casket." A little bit of a different meaning, I guess. He didn't know, though. And so suddenly, Prince Charming turned into the villain in a true crime documentary. You know, there are some things that you don't want to happen to you when you're texting. And look, guys, if you are trying to win a girl's heart, promising her a prime piece of real estate is great. Promising her a coffin, it's creepy. Like, no one wants that. Don't go there. But that's what happened when he texted her. One little typo, and instead of getting down on one knee, he was getting served a restraining order. One little word can make a big difference, right? One little word. If you get one word wrong, you can completely miss what you were trying to say. You can completely miss the meaning of it. One little word can make all the difference. That's not just true of texting. That's true of Christianity. Today is Easter. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus won, that Jesus rose from the grave, that he walked out of the grave, that he trampled on sin and death. This is not just one of the things we believe about Christianity. This is the most important thing. If we miss this, then we will not get Christianity at all. This is the foundation for our faith. But here's the thing about Easter, about the resurrection. If you get one little word wrong, you can miss all of it. And that little word is grace. It's a little word that makes a big difference. If you don't understand grace, then it changes everything. So when I say grace, here's what I mean: undeserved kindness. Grace is undeserved kindness. And let me just be clear about it. If we don't get grace, we don't get Christianity. If we misunderstand grace, we misunderstand God. If we miss grace, then we miss why the resurrection matters, why Easter matters. So today we are going to walk through Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And we're going to see three things we need to understand about grace. Three things we need to understand about grace. Let's start with the first thing. Number one, grace saves because you can't. Grace saves because you can't. I was at the gym the other day, and you know, at the gym, they have all these different pieces of equipment. It's incredible. There are so many different types of pieces of equipment there. For instance, they have that stationary bike. You ever seen one of those? Okay, in my opinion, the worst piece of equipment to exercise on. A bike is a vehicle. It's meant to take you somewhere, but a stationary bike, by definition, stays in one place. What's the point? I don't think they should have it at the gym, but it's there. Then they have, like, the Stairmaster. You ever seen one of those before? Like, mimics stairs? Again, why? I have stairs in my house. I actively avoid going up and down them. What a waste of a piece of equipment. You know, it's Easter. We're just going to save that rant for another time. There are other pieces of equipment there. There's the bench press machine. There's the leg press machine. There's the pull-up bar. So I was in the gym the other day, and I was taking a break, and I started looking around at what everybody else was doing, the equipment that they were using. And I look over at the pull-up bar, and I saw the craziest thing. I saw this guy, this dead guy, doing pull-ups. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, and obviously untrue, right? You know that's, and some of you are like, Sean, I knew this whole story wasn't true when you said you were at the gym. Okay, come on. It's Easter. You don't have to be so hurtful. But that would be absolutely ridiculous to see, wouldn't it? Because you know that a dead guy can't pull himself up. A dead guy can't clean himself up. A dead guy can't raise himself up from the grave. And that's not just true of physically dead people. That's true of spiritually dead people. It's true of me, and it's true of you. Because if we went back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, if we went back to the first verse of this chapter, here's what we read. And you were dead in your sins, your trespasses and your sins. You were dead. Now, not sick, not struggling, not barely hanging on, dead. Church, dead people can't pull themselves up. Dead people can't clean themselves up. Dead people can't raise themselves up. In other words, they don't save themselves. You can't save yourself. You need to hear that today. You can't save yourself from the sins that you have committed, from the wrong that you have done against God. You can't save yourself. But listen to the good news. Grace saves because you can't. Look with me, if you have your Bible, at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And if you don't have a Bible, it should be in the bulletin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. What it didn't say there, it didn't say you helped save yourself, so then God helped too. It didn't say you did your best and God met you halfway. It didn't say you did enough good to make up for the bad, so God rescued you. It says that you are saved, as in the saving was done to you. It wasn't you who did the saving. Now remember, grace is undeserved kindness. God has saved you out of his kindness. God has saved you because of his grace, not because of your goodness. God's grace saved you. Grace saves because you can't. Grace saves because you were spiritually dead. Grace saves because God is rich in love and in mercy. Grace saves because you can't. I want to show you a picture of something. I want to know if you recognize this. This is a building, that really tall building. Anybody know what that is? That is the Willis Tower in Chicago. Used to be called the Sears Tower before apparently had a midlife crisis name change. I don't know what's going on with that. One of the tallest buildings in the world, nearly 1,500 feet tall. Incredible. Okay, so imagine I'm up there on the tippy top, and I'm on the ledge doing a little ballet. Yeah, I look like the kind of guy who would do ballet, right? No, I'm not. But imagine I'm doing that. You know, I'm up there pirouetting, trying to impress my wife, when all of a sudden, oopsie, I slip and I go tumbling off the side like a human paperweight. So I'm falling, screaming louder than a toddler who has dropped his ice cream cone when I remember something. You see, I got up early that day because I wanted to cram in all of the sights before dark. Smart, right? And I thought to myself before I left the hotel, you know, I got up really early today and I might need a little snooze in the Uber later. And so I grabbed this. You know what this is? It's a neck pillow. All right, you ever seen one of these before? Have you ever used one? They're fantastic. I grab this and I throw it around my neck like it's high fashion. I've been rocking it all day looking like a human donut. All right, so here I am falling, plummeting through the sky, you know, falling faster than my credit score after Black Friday. And then I remember in this flash of genius that I have this around my neck. And so I rip it off, and I throw it straight down below me. And I am going to attempt to land on this thing when I get to the ground. I mean, imagine that, me flailing through the Chicago skyline, aiming for a fluffy landing on a $5 neck pillow that is honestly thinner than your patience on Monday morning. How much good is that going to do? You think this is going to save me? No, of course not. There is nothing that this is going to do for me. It cannot save me. I mean, it is, when you sit on it, it's thinner than like a stadium bleacher. It's not going to save anyone. But listen to me. This neck pillow can do far more to save me from a 1,500-foot drop than you can do to save yourself from your sin. You can't save yourself. But the good news is that grace saves because you can't. Your good works can't save you. Your morality can't save you. Your church attendance can't save you. Your quiet times, your tithes and offerings, your volunteering at VBS, none of it can save you. Only grace saves. Only Jesus saves. You can't save yourself from the bad things you have done, from the sins that you have committed, but grace can. Grace saves because you can't. That's the first thing we need to understand about grace. And there's a second thing that we need to understand about grace from these verses. Number two, grace is a gift, not a trade. Grace is a gift, not a trade. We like to have control over things, don't we? We like to have our hands in that kind of thing. We like to have a say in what is going on. And because of that, because we like control, sometimes we don't like grace very much. Grace is undeserved kindness. That means that you did nothing, you contributed nothing, you controlled nothing to receive this grace. God gave it to you. And we don't like feeling helpless. But grace gives us this picture that we're not comfortable with. And that picture is that the only thing that we brought to the table was our need. God supplied everything else in his grace. And this offends our pride because it means the only thing that we earned was the judgment for our sin. And even that was overcome by Jesus without our help. So look with me again at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. So picture this, it's your birthday, and you have invited your closest family, closest friends over. You've had a great night. You're sitting at the table, you're stuffed. Maybe you had too much cake. Although, you know what? No. On your birthday, there's no such thing as too much cake. You're stuffed, you know, you're content. You're happy to be there. And as you're sitting there, someone slides this box that is wrapped in beautiful paper with a big bow on it over to you. So you grab it, you rip it over open, grinning like a child. And when you see what's in it, you say, oh my, how did you know? This is exactly what I wanted. Thank you. Thank you so much. And that person who slid it over to you, they just smile and say, it was no problem. That'll be $142.50, please. Now, you know, cash, check, Venmo, whatever you want to do, but I'm going to need it by the end of the night or else I'm going to have to start charging interest. How would you feel? You would feel like that's not a gift, that's a hostage negotiation, right? Because a gift doesn't come with a payment plan or a bill. You know, it's not like they can say, happy birthday, here's your invoice. That doesn't count as a gift. No, instead, that would be something else. A gift is given out of love, not because you signed some contract and party hats. A gift is not something that you pay for, that you earn, that you work for. If you have to pay for it, it's not a gift. It's a trade. Well, grace is the same way. If you could earn it, it wouldn't be grace. It would be a trade. You see, what we try to do is we try to trade our work for God's forgiveness. That would be a trade. But grace isn't a reward for the righteous. It is a gift for the guilty. This verse tells us that grace is God's gift, not from works, so that no one should boast, no one should brag. So you've got only two options when it comes to getting something from God. Either you earn it, which is impossible, or you receive it, which is grace. So hear this, your works don't contribute to your salvation. If you try to add your works to grace, you ruin both of them. Right? It would be like adding orange juice to sweet tea. Like, some of you just gagged in your mouth when I said that. That would be disgusting, right? You would ruin both of them. Actually, I know someone's going to be sitting at lunch today and they're going to go, actually, that orange juice sweet tea, that doesn't sound too. Don't do it. You're going to ruin both of them. You don't add to your salvation. If you try to, then what you are going to do is you are going to ruin grace. But this verse tells us that grace excludes bragging. Why? Because salvation is not a paycheck, it's a present. And God is not going to let anyone steal his glory by ruining his grace. So if you think you have earned your salvation, even a little, then you have missed the whole thing. Grace is a gift, not a trade. You are not saved because you are good. You are saved because God is gracious. We would like to think that grace is just a little bit of a trade, maybe, like 1% trade. We would like to think that we gave something to God that made him then give us grace. We would like to think that we gave him our heart, so then God gave us heaven. We would like to think that we gave him our life, so he gave us eternal life. We would like to think we gave him our everything, so he gave us grace. We would like to think we gave God something, that we contributed, we traded something. Well, here's the truth of it. If that is a trade, it's not a good one, right? Your disgusting sin for Jesus' perfect righteousness. Does that sound like a fair trade? Of course not. Imagine you and I are eating lunch after church today. We're enjoying that Easter lunch, and we've got some people that were around, and I decide I'm going to be the brave one who takes a bite of that casserole. You know, the one that looks a little funny, smells a little off. It's bubbling a little bit, gurgling. That's not natural for a casserole, I don't think. But I think, you know, how bad could it be? And so I take a bite of it, and after a few seconds, I realize this was one of the worst decisions of my life. I may die. And so what I do is I take out my napkin, and I spit that casserole in, and I wad it up, and I shove it in my pocket, hoping nobody saw what I just did. After lunch, you and I are outside talking, and we see your car sitting over there. And I say, you know what? This is really generous of me. Maybe too generous, but I want to make a trade. I want to trade this napkin that is full of disgusting, possibly, actually probably radioactive, half-eaten casserole. I want to trade this for your car. So if you have the title, we'll just go ahead and do the trade right here. What would you say to me? You would say, Sean, did the casserole get into your brain cells? I mean, something's off. Of course I am not going to trade my car for that nasty napkin. That would not be a fair trade. And you would be right. In fact, in your mind, that's not even a trade at all, because I am giving you something that's not just worthless. I'm giving you something that is disgusting. And you are giving me something that is very valuable. That would not be a trade. That would be a gift from you to me. You know what is infinitely more unfair than that? Your disgusting sin for Jesus' perfect righteousness. That is not a trade. That is a gift. Grace is a gift, not a trade. That's the second thing we need to understand about grace. And then there's a third thing that we need to understand about grace. It's number three. Grace is now because the tomb is empty. Grace is now because the tomb is empty. When we think about being saved, a lot of times we put that way off into the future. We think about being saved as what we will experience when we die. You know, we won't face the judgment for the sin that we deserve. Instead, we will be in heaven with Jesus. We think, okay, that's where grace will be experienced. I mean, that's true. We will experience God's grace in the future. But that's not the only place that we experience his grace. So look one more time with me at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. It doesn't say You will be saved. It says you are saved. Grace isn't just a future promise. It is a present reality. Grace isn't just off in the future. Grace is now. Do you know what we're celebrating on Easter? We're not celebrating the flowers, even though they're beautiful. We're not celebrating Reese's eggs, which are by far the best candy this time of year. It's not even a debate. We're definitely not celebrating Peeps. Those things are trash and everyone knows it, but we still buy them for our kids. Now, we're not celebrating any of those. On Easter, we are celebrating Jesus. We're celebrating the fact that he rose up from the grave. We're celebrating his resurrection. We're celebrating his victory over death and sin. The tomb is empty right now. That's what we celebrate on Easter. It's not that Jesus will rise up from the grave in the future. He already did. Jesus is risen. The tomb is empty right now. Here's what that means. That means grace is now. You don't have to wait till you die to experience grace. You can experience it right here, right now, in your life. Grace is now. Do you have a junk drawer at home? Yeah, okay, I know the answer to that is yes, right? I mean, everyone that I know has a junk drawer. It's where you put those knickknacks to marinate for a few decades in case you need them, you know? And don't act like you're above this. Even Martha Stewart, I'm pretty sure, and all of her glorious organization has a junk drawer somewhere in her house. I was in an archaeological dig of my junk drawer not long ago, and I found an artifact from ancient times. It was this Amazon gift card. And I say from ancient times because I specifically remember receiving this gift card from someone 5 years ago and putting it straight into that drawer. Now, why didn't I apply it to my account immediately? No idea. I don't know if I thought that maybe if I put it in there, it would like grow, you know, like accrue interest, maybe suck in some other gift cards. I don't know. But I put it in there 5 years ago. Well, here's the thing. That's my gift card. The money on it is mine. I just haven't been using it. That's how a lot of us treat God's grace. It's ours. We have access to it. We can use it, but we just put it aside. We want to work everything out ourselves. We want to straighten ourselves out. We want to get rid of our bad habits by ourselves. And we think if we need grace, we'll go to the junk drawer and we'll grab it. But most of the time, we just ignore it, thinking that we might need grace off in the future somewhere. Well, friend, grace is now. The tomb is empty, so grace is now. You don't have to wait to use it. Because grace is now, you don't have to keep it tucked away for later. You can start depending on it right now, today. So are you living like grace is now? Or are you living with grace in the junk drawer? Are you overwhelmed by work, grinding through stress and deadlines, trying to prove that you can hold it all together? Or are you turning to God, trusting his grace to give you strength and peace in the middle of the chaos? Instead of stashing grace in the junk drawer, pull it out. Say to God, I need you. When that meeting, that tough meeting is coming up, or you're staring at your inbox, cry out, God, I need your help to carry this. Grace is now. Let it carry you through the daily grind. Or are you wrestling with guilt over mistakes you made in the past, replaying what happened, thinking about what you could have done differently? Or are you resting in God's grace, knowing that he has already forgiven you of that because Jesus died for it? Don't let shame keep grace buried. No, instead, right now, you can say, Lord, I am going to let this go because I know that Jesus paid for it, and I know that he rose from the grave. Grace is now. Stop waiting to feel worthy and accept the freedom that Jesus offers you. Are you anxious about the future, trying to control every outcome? your kids' choices, your health, your finances? Or are you leaning into God's grace, trusting that he's got a plan even when you can't see it? Quit hoarding grace like it's for someday in the future. This morning, hand your worries to God. Cry out, Father, I'm scared. I don't know what's coming, but help me to trust in your goodness. Grace is now. It will give you the strength to face uncertainty with hope. Or are you battling a habit that you can't seem to break, thinking that you'll clean yourself up before you come to God? Or are you running to him, relying on his grace to transform you step by step? Well, don't leave grace gathering dust. Today, admit to God, I can't beat this on my own, but I know that your power is enough. Grace is now. So come to God. This grace, it's not for perfect people. It is for people just like you. It is for you right where you are dealing with whatever you are dealing with. Or are you feeling disconnected in your relationships, trying to fix friendships and family drama on your own? Or are you asking for God's grace to love others well, even when it's hard? Stop shoving grace aside for later, before that next tough conversation or that awkward family meal. Pray, Lord, give me your patience. Give me your kindness. Give me your wisdom. Grace is now. It is the glue that heals what is broken when you allow God to work through you. So today, right now, take grace out of the junk drawer. Lean on it, depend on it, and start living by it, because that's what God has made you to do. Because the tomb is empty, grace is available right here, right now, for you. Grace is now because the tomb is empty. That's the third and final thing we need to understand about grace this morning. Grace, it's a little word that makes all the difference. It's undeserved kindness, God's undeserved kindness toward you. Grace saves because you can't. Grace is a gift, not a trade. And grace is now because the tomb is empty. But as we think about this today, we need to remember that grace is not just some cold, hard fact that we have to figure out. No, grace is a warm embrace that we are meant to experience, but we will never experience God's grace unless it is in Jesus. Here's the truth: that you are separated from God because of your sin, because of the wrong that you have done. And there is nothing that you can do to make up for your sin. There is nothing that you can do to bring yourself back to God. But out of his grace, God sent his son, Jesus, to pay for our sin with his life. He died the death that we deserve so that we could be forgiven of our sin. You didn't deserve forgiveness. You don't deserve Jesus' sacrifice. It is a gift of grace. Jesus died in our place. But that is not the end of the story. Today is Easter. We are celebrating the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That means that Jesus won, that Jesus is alive. And because Jesus is alive, that means that grace is not some dead truth. No, but grace is a living hope in a risen Savior. It is a personal reality that you can experience today. Grace is alive because Jesus is alive, ready to welcome you, heal you, and transform you right now. So, have you received God's grace? If you've never trusted in Jesus, the answer to that is no, but it can be yes today. Come to God and say, I know I've done wrong. I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't make up for it, but please forgive me based on Jesus. And if you trust in Jesus' perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his glorious resurrection, if you trust in him in your heart, then your sins will be forgiven, you will be saved, and you will experience God's grace. Not just today. You will experience his grace forever. So maybe today that's you. You need to put your faith in Jesus. Don't wait another minute. Trust in him now. If you have questions about it, you want to talk to someone, you want someone to pray with you, I'm going to be standing right down here after the service waiting for you. And I'm going to be standing right down here as we sing this last song, waiting for you. Don't wait. Put your trust in Jesus today and experience God's grace. Christian, you have already trusted in Jesus. But let me ask you this. Are you living every day in the grace that you have received? Are you living every day in the grace that you have received? Or have you drifted back into trying to earn God's approval? Have you drifted back into relying on yourself? Have you drifted into thinking you have to pay God back? Listen to me. Grace is not just the way into the Christian life. Grace is the way through all of the Christian life. So if you are a Christian, the invitation to you is clear. Come back to grace. Come back to grace. If you're tired of performing and striving and pretending, come back to grace. If you have been carrying this guilt, you feel that God is just too disappointed in you, come back to grace. If you think that grace is something you needed way back then, but you don't really need it today, then come back to grace. This is Easter. Because the tomb is empty, remember, grace is yours right now. So take a moment as we sing this last song to talk honestly with God. Tell him you want to be done trying to earn what Jesus has already secured for you. Lay down your burdens, your guilt, your efforts, and once again, receive the grace that he freely offers you. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive, and grace is yours. Receive it today again. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much. Thank you that we are not slaves to death, but that Jesus has overcome it. And so I pray today, Lord, that we would accept your grace. I pray that we would live by your grace, that we would stop striving to impress you and enjoy your grace. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. I ask that if there's anyone in here right now that doesn't know you, that has not put his or her faith in you, I pray, Lord, that you would grab a hold of their heart. I pray, God, that as they wrestle with their sin, I pray they would see just how bad it is. They would see the cost that Jesus paid for it, and they would respond by putting their faith in him alone. Lord, help us live by your grace day by day. For your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.